take a text and stay with that text. But today, we're changing up a little bit of stuff. Just want to do some, I'm going to give you a lot of different scripture. Honestly, I want to encourage you as you go through this week to go back and look at these scriptures. You know, we started a few weeks ago on God's purpose for the church, his main key purpose in Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "Go, ye therefore, teach all nations, baptize them, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teach them to observe all things I've commanded. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." So you got go, preach, baptize, teach. That's the key purpose of the church. And here's the thing, everything to do with becoming a disciple and making disciple revolves around our relationship with the Word of God. Okay, so if I can do anything this morning, I hope to show you and inspire you to begin to develop your relationship to God in His Word. We live in a day and time to where I think, and here's where I'm at, I hope you take this positively. A lot of times we listen to the wrong voice telling us, "I can't understand the Bible, I don't get things out of it, I'm not a good reader, you know, I don't like to read," and then we just go off of those excuses. And a lot of times the devil keeps telling you those excuses, and I'm here to tell you that if you're a born-again believer, you can understand the Bible. It does take work. You know, it says in 2 Timothy 2:15, study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman. It means it's work. Studying God's word is work, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so there's no such thing as a Bible-free disciple. No such thing. And if you pray and you seek the Lord, because here's the thing, God's word is the primary path that God communicates and directs a believer's life. Not here's what I mean. I believe God speaks to us in our spirit. I believe God speaks through other believers to us. He speaks through the church. He speaks, but primarily, God speaks through His Word. And I think there's such a movement today for people to go, "This is what God told me, this is what God told me, this is what God told me," and yet they're not in God's Word. I just want to say you have to be very, very careful when you say, "God spoke this to me." Especially if you're one who goes, "Oh, I don't really like reading the Bible, God just speaks to me." I'm like, that's a very, very dangerous thing. I believe God speaks, absolutely, 100%. But I go, God gave His Word. His Word doesn't change. It's applicable. When He wrote it, it's applicable today, and it will be until the day that everyone's going to be judged by it. And so here's what I want to tell you. You're saved by the Word. You're going to be judged by the Word. We're held accountable to the Word. Parents are going to be held accountable. Listen to me, not youth teachers and Sunday school teachers and Awana's teachers. Gratefully thankful for everybody who's involved in that. I think it's the most important part of our church. But ultimately, Deuteronomy chapter 8 says that parents, especially dads, are going to be held accountable for what you did with the Bible, with your kids, and what you taught them, and their eternal salvation depends a whole lot upon you. So it's very important that we get into God's Word. And I want to talk about that. You know, I'm going to jump all over, but I got the scriptures up here for you, so you don't got to go to turning a bunch. But when you think about a disciple, here's the thing. Children are born, disciples are made. Children are born. We're not made. We don't work our way into the kingdom. We don't study God's Word and get enough knowledge that we're believers, okay? The Bible says faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And so at the point we hear the gospel, you choose to either believe it or to reject it. And at that point, you're either born again or you're lost in your sin. And a child of God is born wholly by the grace of God. It has nothing to do with your works or your church or anything else. But when you're born again, you're baptized. We won't go into this a lot this morning. That means you identify publicly with the message of the gospel. You identify publicly and you're added to, as it says in Acts chapter 2, they were baptized and added to the church. That means you become a part of a local body connected to believers. And our role in this church is to help make you disciples. You're here to go, "I'm a follower of Jesus." I looked up some definition of disciple this week, and it says this: someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and committed to the mission of Jesus. So who is it all about? It is about us, but it's about Jesus. It's about what Jesus is doing for us. If you're here, you're not really even focused. Here's a lot of people who have a relationship with a church, but not a relationship with Jesus. Amen. We get focused on the church, but we've lost sight of Jesus. And you can do that with church, you can do it with ministry, whereas the disciple is about knowing, following, and carrying out what Christ has called us to do. Amen. Man, this thing sounds funny. Does this sound okay to y'all? Yeah. Okay, all right. Sounds funny to me. Okay, no. Another definition is one who believes his doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching. It's all the word doctrine means, the teachings of Christ. So if you go, I don't care about doctrine, what you're saying is, I don't care about the teachings of Christ. So it's all about a disciple is one who believes his doctrine, rests on his sacrifice, is led by his spirit, and imitates his examples. The last one is the desire to know and live like Jesus. And so being a Christian is not about, I have a set of principles I live by, I want to be a moral person, I'm going to get involved in church, I'm going to be religious. Being a Christian has nothing. Being a Christian is, I heard the story of Jesus. I believed the good news of Jesus. I was a sinner, lost in my sin. Christ came and died for my sin. He's the Lord and the Savior, and I believe that, and I've committed my trust to Him. I trust in His sacrifice as my salvation. And my desire, because He loves me that much, is to know Him. I want to follow Him. I want to have the life that He has for me. I want to do His will. That's what it means to be a Christian. If you don't have that, you're not a Christian. You understand? If Jesus isn't the Lord of your life, He's not the one you love and follow and want to be like, then you got some American idea of Christianity, but not a biblical view. Are y'all with me? So, think about this. Being a disciple is absolutely impossible apart from walking in God's word. See, I want to be a disciple. You know, I've had a lot of people come to me and go, I want you to disciple me. I want to start discipling. All right, we're going to start. First thing we're going to do, we're going to start studying God's word together. And in a little bit of time, it's been a pattern. Like, well, you know, I didn't have time to read this week. And I'm studying. Like, dude, you can't be a disciple unless you want to study God's word and walk in it. Because here's the thing, you can't know God. You do not know God apart from God's word. The only way that God reveals Himself to us is through the Word of God. That's why He wrote it. Jesus, think about this. This is the written Word of God. It is God-breathed, God-inspired. Every word was spoken by God to man who recorded it and wrote it down word for word, jot for jot, tittle for tittle, like the Bible says. I believe it from cover to cover. Every word is God-breathed. It means it's alive. He spoke life into His Word. And then in John chapter 1, the Bible says, and the Word became flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14, John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word capital means talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Chapter 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh and blood. Jesus is the living, breathing manifestation of this book. The revelation of God in the flesh. And so the way that we know who God is, His nature, it's so important how God's Word moves, I hate to use the word enhances, but it brings to life our worship. You know why you worship God? You worship God for who He is and what He's done. How do you know those things? Because you've been in God's Word. I just want to encourage you, if you spend time in God's Word every day, make it a pattern in your life every day to spend time in God's Word to go, I just want to know Jesus. I'm not going there so I can debate with people. I'm not going there to prove my point. I'm not going there because I'm guilty and the preacher said I ought to read the Bible. I just want to know Jesus. He's the Lord of my life. He saved me. And so I want to learn of Him, and I want to know Him, and I want to walk with Him. You know what happened? When you come here on Sunday, you'll be like, I'm ready to worship the one I walked with this week. Amen. So in that, there's a lot of eternal benefits to studying God's Word. I'm going to give you a bunch of them right here. You ready? Number one, God's Word alone brings eternal salvation. God's Word alone brings eternal salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Look at this. Look at God's Word, because here's the thing. You want to build your foundation on God's Word. Before we read that, I want to read something that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. He said, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. How do you know what God's will is? By God's Word. That's the only way you're going to know. A lot of people, I'm just looking for a feeling. I'm looking for this experience. I'm looking for a sign. Here's your sign. Read the Bible. Okay? So there you go. You don't got to be a prophet. Now, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that practice lawlessness. And then notice what he says here. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, whoever hears the word of God and does them. Not just be hearers of the word. James says to be doers of the word. And does them. I will liken him a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. Why? For it was founded on the rock. The word of God is the foundation of our lives. It's the foundation of this church. And any time we veer off a side of that, what happens? Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does them not will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Churches fall because they do not do what the Word of God teaches. When we go by feelings and opinions and views and thoughts and all of those things, you're going through a storm and it's going to crumble to the dust of the earth. But when we hang to God's word and we walk in God's word, and this becomes the very most important thing in our life. Think about this. I'm going to read this to you. It says in Psalm 138:2, I read this verse and it just, this one of the verses just hammered me. Anyhow, it says this, you have magnified your word above all of your name. You have magnified your word above all of your name. I go, if God magnifies his word and holds it in such a place of holiness and righteousness, should not we as his church do the same? Like, we should magnify God. And how do you magnify God? By magnifying his word. So how is God's word magnified in your life? How is God's word magnified in your marriage? Magnified in the way you raise your children? Magnified in the way you do your business? Magnified in the way that you worship? Magnified for the purpose that you come here to gather with this church? God's word should be magnified above all else. It is supreme. It's not just a book of fables. It's God-breathed, and it is absolute truth, and we will be judged by it, like it or not. And there's good things for it, all right? So faith comes by hearing. Faith means a biblical faith. If you're born again, it's because you have a biblical faith. It means you believe what you have heard. If you'll look back this week in Romans chapter 10, you'll see it. They say, how can they believe except they hear? A person cannot be saved unless they have heard the truth of God's word, period. That's Bible. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You want your faith to grow? Study God's word. Then look in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel or the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also for the Greek. And so you see that God's word brings eternal salvation. Y'all say that's very important. Very important. Second thing is it reveals his nature, his ways, and the principal truths that we're to live by. We just read that. God's word teaches us who he is, what he's done, how it's open to us, how we can receive that. And he gives us the way that if we build our lives on the principal truths of God's word, our lives will endure any test, any storm. That's right. And it'll be good. Third thing is it transforms our nature and character. Now, everybody's built a certain way. Everybody has a certain personality. But listen to me, sin nature imposes on that personality when you're not saved. And it tries to once you are saved. Amen? You always have that sin nature in our flesh. We'll always battle that. Hopefully you're battling. Okay, that's how you know. How do I know that I'm saved? Because I'm battling my fleshly nature and I'm walking in the Spirit of God now that dwells in me. I'm continuing to walk in the truth of God's word. And so if you want to be changed, and if you're a born-again believer, you want to be changed. Look what it says in Romans chapter 12. And I know these are a lot of verses. It'd be good for you to memorize. It said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Do not think like the world. Do not live like the world. Do not love the world. But be what? Transformed how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be transformed. You know what God's word does? When you read God's word, it transforms you. You go from being what you were. Okay, remember, positionally, you're saved, you're sealed, At the moment that you're saved, now God wants to take you right where you are, and he wants to transform you, your nature, your character, your life, and everything else, which takes the rest of your life. But it happens by walking in God's word, and it can happen a whole lot quicker if we'll just walk in God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, let no man deceive himself. No, that's not it. Let's go 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Write that down. I'm sorry, sister. That was my fault. He's talking about the new covenant and the old covenant here. Is it up there? Okay. And notice what he says here. Say, how am I transformed? How does God change me? Here's the thing. You can't change. Would y'all agree? We can't change ourselves. We never could. God doesn't go change. You get it right. So how do I change? But we all with an unveiled face. That means I can come to God just like I am. Nothing to hide. Nothing between me and God. I'm declared holy by the blood of Jesus. I now have access to come into the very throne room of God and go, hey, Daddy. Y'all with me? That's what Jesus has done for us. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That means as I look at God's word, the glory of the Lord, the nature of God, the person, the word of God, as I look at it, I'm changed. It's like looking in a mirror and I see myself and I see who God says I can be. And as I walk in and believe God's word, I become what God's word says I am already. Does that make sense? Another thing it does is it cleanses us from our sinful ways. How many of you struggle with sin? Boom. Man, we all do. And as a child of God, we hate that. And what the devil wants to do is go, you're so guilty and you're so awful and you'll never get it right and all these things, so that you go, man, I give up, and you start walking in your flesh. Whereas God goes, I want you to read truth. I want you to read my word, because this is how I cleanse your way. What it says in Psalm, I believe it's 1, or John 15, 3, Jesus talking to his disciples here, he said, you are already clean. How? Because of the word which I've spoken to you. Then it says in Psalm 119, how shall a young man cleanse his way? Young people, look at this. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. I read God's word. It's okay. Listen to me. It's okay for you to come to God and go, God, I'm really struggling with this. I'm struggling with lying. And I'm just talking to young people. I'm struggling with lust. I'm struggling with cheating. I'm struggling with putting on a show. I'm struggling with hypocrisy. God, I'm struggling with this. And I do not want to do this. God's like, read my word, study my word, let my word, because here's the thing, Jesus said in John chapter 4, I seek those who worship me in spirit and in truth. Take my word, let the spirit do what he does. When I put God's word in my heart, when I'm seeking God face to face in his word, my God, I want you to change me. The word of God is like no other book. It's like no other book because it's living. Says in Hebrews chapter 4 that the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces all the way to our soul. God's like, I can do a work in you if you'll just get in here and let my spirit, you just be truthful with me, I'm going to be truthful with you, and I'm going to transform you. You're going to look up and go, how did this happen? Like, because here's what happens. When I walk in the word, when I'm walking with Jesus, Jesus just changes folks. Next thing is, oh, this is good. He gives us the power to live free from sin. Listen to me. Everyone else just admitted that we sin, but listen to me. You don't have to. Right. Now, I'm not saying sinless perfection, but what I am saying is if you're a born-again believer, you are not a slave to sin. Right. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8, we are no longer slaves. Now, we can allow sin. You can give sin permission to rule over you. You can choose to go, I'm gonna go along with this, and then I'm just going to justify it. But when you are tempted, there is no temptation, period, that God's word can't remove from you. There's no temptation that the Spirit of God has the power to put in your life to overcome, to go, I will not bow to that in my life. So where does it say that? John chapter 8, verse 31, 32, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, notice what he said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from the power of sin in your life. There is no addiction. And here's the thing. Everybody's about addictions. Everybody has addictions. Some people is drugs. Some people is alcohol. Some people is lust. Some people is lying. Some people is the addiction of anger and being hateful to folk. Every one of us is born with that perversion. All of those things. And here's the thing. God's word, through the power of Christ, can set you free from any and every sin. And if you don't believe that, just try it. I just dare you to try it, all right? Another thing is it directs us to live a life, I love this, a life of favor and blessing. Think about this, in your marriage, in your family, with your friends, in your business, in your finances, in your church family, say, I don't know about y'all, I want favor and blessing. That's what I want. God, if y'all don't, you're crazy. I'm like, God, I'm asking you to bless us, bless my family. Whether y'all like it or not, I pray for y'all almost every day to go, God, please bless and show your favor to my church family because you're the blesser. And they might not think they deserve it, and we don't deserve it, but God, when you look at us, you are pleased because you see your son, and I'm asking your blessing. I don't want the blessing of the world. I don't want the blessing of the devil. I don't want your blessing on those people. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Think about this. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How do you get it in your heart? You shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Notice this, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. It's just a promise. And God keeps his promises. It empowers us to live a life of victory and spiritual warfare. You know, I know you can go around and you can rebuke the devil and you can do all this stuff, but listen to me. When Jesus was out in the wilderness, he was led of the Spirit to go out in the wilderness and he was going to be tested. The old devil come along. Jesus didn't go, I rebuke you. He could have. He could have said, I rebuke you. He could have prayed. He could have asked him. But you know what he did? Every time that Satan tempted him, he said, it is written. It is written. It is written. And Satan had to turn and walk away. And when we stand upon the power of God's word to go, it is written. And I'm going to do what it says. It is written. And I'm going to do it because he is Lord. I will not listen to your voice. He's got to turn and go. He's got to turn and go. That's how you fight spiritual warfare. You don't fight spiritual warfare in any other way. And I'm all about prayer. Okay, understand that. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare are the word of God for the tearing down of the stronghold that Satan has in our lives and in the lives of others. Speak with authority God's word in love and you'll see the devil flee. And it equips us to lead others to Christ. You know how you lead other people to Christ? Your testimony is great, but listen to me. There is something about when you speak God's word to people. Because here's the thing. People will listen to you and go, yeah, that's your opinion. Yeah, that's your view. And this and that. Lost or saved when you go, God's word says. There's something that God's spirit doesn't stir based upon my opinion. God's spirit doesn't do what he does. He's not connected to my view. But when I go, God's word says, the Spirit goes, he's ready to rock then. You understand that? He's ready. He will act upon the spoken word of God because why? His word is magnified above all else. So I want to encourage you today to develop your personal relationship with God in the word of God. I'm going to give you a couple of things. We're going to get out of here. Write this down. How do I do that? Set aside a time. You know what the word consecrate means? It means set aside. Set aside. You know, right before the children of Israel was fixing to cross over the Jordan into the promised land, Joshua comes through and he says this, consecrate yourselves today, for tomorrow God will do wonders among you. He didn't say that you're going to do wonders or everything's up to you. He said, I want you to set yourself aside to God, be devoted to God, because he's fixing to blow your mind. And we should consecrate ourselves to the Lord a certain time, whatever time you choose, Psalm 119, 147, notice what it says. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. What if you started every day like that? What if you said, you know what? Most of us, how many of you like fasting for food? Not me. But I can fast from sleep. They said, well, you just sit around and don't do nothing. You have no idea about my life if you believe that. I work just like you do. You understand that? Late hours into the night, early mornings, physical labor, most all day, every day. And so here's the thing. If I can do it, anybody can do it. You can say, it's going to take me a minute, but I can do it for hunting, and I can do it for fishing, and I can do it for everything. You know what I try to do? I get on that pattern of hunting season, getting up 4:30, 5 o'clock. I'm like, I'm going to stay on this pattern. Instead of getting up going hunting, I'm going to go hunt God's word. And I'm going to start my day each day. And listen to me, there's going to be mornings where you hit the alarm clock. Don't let the devil defeat you. Well, I missed it yesterday. It's kind of like working out. Well, I didn't work out yesterday, so today I'm going to eat everything I can see. Like, all right, so today I didn't get up. I'm going to spend time with God this afternoon. And in the morning, I'm going to get right back up, and I'm going to go right back out. Y'all ever watch Rocky? Yeah. Y'all need to watch Rocky, okay? If you hadn't watched it, watch it. There's one of the Rocks, can't even tell you what it is. Yeah, it is. This is when he's fighting Apollo Creed, and this is what he said. He done got knocked down and knocked down and knocked down. He got up, and he walked back, and remember Mick was in the corner, and he was talking to him, and he said, I ain't going down no more. I ain't going down no more. There needs to be a point in a believer's life to where you go, I'm tired of getting whooped on, I'm tired of getting knocked down, and I ain't going down no more. And I'm going to do what God's called me to do because I believe his word and I believe it's good and I believe it's life-giving and life-transforming. And by all means, my kids need to see this every day. My wife or my husband needs to see this every day. My coworkers need to see the word of God because they're not going to see it anywhere else unless they see it and hear it from me. So set aside a time to where, and here's what a Bible study is. It's just coming to meet with God. To learn of him. Remember what Jesus said? I believe it was Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's right. What is God's will for my life? He just wants you to learn of him. He wants you to know who he is and what he's got for you and the life he can produce for you and the things he's willing to do in and through you for his glory. You got to learn those things because you can't apply it. You know, here's the thing. If you don't have ammo in a gun, it ain't nothing but a stick. And God's word is the ammo that we put in our clip. And the Holy Spirit's like, I'm ready to fire now. You've got to give him some ammunition if you're going to be used by the Lord. And your opinion and your feelings have no authority. Y'all with me? So I read a deal. It was a story of a man who was older. And he said every day when he was sick in his latter days, and he said he laid there in the bed, but every morning that he would have a chair sitting beside his bed, and that's where he would meet with God. He would put a chair there and go, all right, I'm going to put a chair here for the Lord. And he would read his Bible, and he would talk to the Lord, and then they would move his chair away. And every morning they would bring in, they would put his chair, whatever. And they said on the day that they found him dead, he was laying there with his Bible and his head in the chair. So like he met with God every day, and he met God. I believe he met God right there. God, studying the Bible is just you going, you want to hear God? Here's what I mean. You want to hear God speak? You come to God and go, all right, Lord, I'm going to read and I'm going to talk and I'm going to listen and I'm going to talk. You start building that pattern in your life. And here's the thing. Decisions are not made by gut feelings. You understand? Here's how the Holy Spirit works. I need to make a decision in my life. If I have studied God's word and I know his ways, the Holy Spirit immediately brings those ways into my mind and go, this is what I want you to do if you want to see good success. If you want to honor me, this is how you respond. This is the direction that you go in. But God's word's got to be in you or you don't know his ways. That's why so many of us get out of the way. And here's the thing. Put away your excuses and your distractions. We live in a culture, and you know what I'm going to say, we're so distracted by phones and TVs and internets and social medias and other people and things to do, and it takes so much stinking money to try to make a living nowadays, even just to function. I understand every bit of that. But none of that stuff's any good whatsoever if you don't know God and your kids don't know God. And Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these other things be added unto you. Quit making excuses. Well, here's the thing, Lord. Come to the Lord and go, Lord, I hate reading. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a book reader. I don't like reading books. I do enjoy reading the Bible. And sometimes I'm so distracted by everything else. People go, he likes to go out and sit in a tree. All he thinks about is hunting. Half the time when I'm sitting in a tree, when you're strapped 20 foot up, you got no distractions. You come to God. And so you find your spot. That might be mine. You need to walk out of the house and go out in the field where you ain't thinking about cleaning the house or doing that. If you need to leave the phone, it's okay. Listen to me, it's okay. You can survive an hour without a phone. Get up in the morning while nobody else is awake. Go outside in your garage, sit in your car, whatever it takes to go. I just want to meet. You know, and here's the thing. And I'll tell you this. Some people have heard this. Back with me and my wife. What time is it? I'm running out of time. When we went through our marriage crash and fall apart and burn and everything else, so we went to counseling. One of my things was, I was so distracted. know, back then I hunted and fished every day, every day. It was my God. It was my little G. And I didn't have time to listen to her. I'd work. When I got home, I was outside shooting or I was doing something. Whatever. Young Jeremy was little then. I was like, you know, with him. And she said, he never listens to him. He don't listen to him. She was right. I didn't listen to her. And he was like, I remember my pastor, he said, is it possible that when you get home from work, you could take 10 minutes to give her undivided attention and just listen to her? And you know what I said? 10 minutes. Literally, I said that 10 minutes. She was sitting there just going. And I said, I was so proud. I can do that. I can do 10 minutes. And literally, this is what it looked like. I get home from work. I walk in. I'd sit down on a chair and go, all right, you got 10 minutes. And she would just, thank God for her, she would just be gritting. She's like, okay. And so that started like that. And you know what happened? 10 minutes grew into 15, into 20. I started enjoying listening to her. She became the priority of my life. That stinking crap that I was doing that almost robbed me of my marriage. And we talk all the time now. I actually started talking too. She gave me that opportunity finally. But I just want to go, here's my question. Does the God of the universe who delivered you from the wrath of hell, can you not just give him 10 minutes of undivided attention? Right. Just start with 10. He'll take 10. He'll take 10. God, I'm going to give you 10 minutes. It's kind of embarrassing to tell God that, ain't it? God, I'm going to give, the voice 2 hours. I'll give you 10 minutes. And if you do that, here's what's going to happen. You're going to start hearing God speak. You're going to start seeing a change in your life. You're going to start seeing these benefits. You're going to be able to share hope with people. You'll start seeing the impact, the influence you have on other people's lives. And it'll go from 10 to 15. I remember when I first, started preaching, the preacher was like, man, I studied my Bible 8 hours a day. I'm like, 8 hours? Insanity. I can't do it for 8 minutes. Now I can sit there all day if I wanted to and just absorb myself into God's Word and go, this is. And you say, I don't understand that. It's because you hadn't done it. It's because you haven't done it. But when you start doing that, you start hearing God. You start seeing the glory of God in your life. You're like, I'm going to get a whole lot more of this. I want to be a part of this. It's alive to me now. And I'm actually becoming a disciple. But I want to say this finishing. Man, it's the greatest spiritual warfare you'll ever face. Here's the thing. If we don't abide in God's word, we're no threat to the kingdom of darkness. You're no threat. No threat at all. The devil's not concerned with you. But you know what? Satan's not concerned with our feelings, our human reasoning, or our personal experiences. Why? Because he can influence all of that. He can influence your feelings, your personal experiences. The devil can give you all the signs you want to see. He can give you all the emotions you want to experience. He can give you all the warm, fuzzy feelings that you hope you're going to get. But he can influence God's word. The Bible says God's word is sealed forever in heaven. So I want you to set aside time. I'm going to go quickly right here and get you out of here. Second thing is, I want you to digest the word. Jeremiah 15, 16. Notice what he says here. He said, your words were found and I ate them. Your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name. It means your word applies to me. Everything it says, every promise there, everything that God says that I am, it applies to me. Psalm 119:11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Think about this. Job 23:12. He said, I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured his words, the words of his mouth, more than my necessary food. Digest God's word. It means study it, chew on it, understand it, walk in it, memorize it, obey it. Let it become a part of you, and you will see it come out of your life. If every decision we made in life, every thought process, every important conversation that we had were influenced and directed by the word of God, we would live out very incredible and influential lives. You understand that? If everything I do and say, if I would go, I'm going to rein these emotions in, I'm going to rein my feelings in, I'm going to rein that desire to spew junk out of my mouth, and I'm going to be influenced by the word of God, and I'm going to speak it because it always honors and glorifies him. I will do that no matter what, and I will not bow to the devil. Your life will be amazing. Last thing is, share it. Share it with a friend, share it with your spouse, share it with your children, share it with the lost. How do you know if you're getting God's word? Sit down at your table in the evening times and have a conversation about your time with Jesus earlier that day with your wife and kids. Talk about it. Make it common. If you sit down as a dad, now listen to me, because this is going to be hard to swallow. If you sit down as a dad right now and your kids are sitting at a table, hopefully y'all, if y'all don't do that, y'all start doing that. Have supper. I don't care if you get it at Sonic or cook it, but have something. and go, hey, y'all, let's talk about the Lord. Let's talk about God's word. If your kids go, what? You're in the process of failing, but you don't have to be a failure. You can go, you know what? I actually listened to that fool yesterday, and I read God's word today, and I just want to share with y'all something that God spoke to me. And it don't matter if it's just a little bit. Blow their minds, okay? To where all of a sudden you find yourself conversing about who God is, what God's great purpose is in your life. You as a parent hold the power to project what your kid's life experienced, to project God's power and His hope and His glory and His goodness and His purpose and His plan for their life. Just like you sit down and project football and baseball and ice hockey and ballerina. You know, I don't know what it is, but project who God is. This is what God can do. He might want to be a ballerina, but you know what? He wants to take you and influence millions of people through your little dancing and spinning for His glory. That's the purpose of it. Not the money. So here's the thing. The first step to know God's word is to know the author.
That's right.
So I want to ask you this morning, you answer for yourself, have you ever come to the place where you heard the good news of God? Come to the understanding, go, I'm a lost sinner. The Bible says every one of us are. I don't think we have any arguments with that. Good news is Jesus died for sinners. He took the full punishment for my sin, for your sin. He buried our sin in a grave. He rose with the keys to death and hell. And He says, I and only I have the authority and power to forgive your sin and to grant you life. If you ever come to Him and ask Him, God, please forgive my sin, save my soul, I want to follow you. If you haven't today, you can do that right where you sit, right where you stand. God will save you. You'll be born again. And you can start walking in God's word, and He will totally, radically change your life. Will you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I love you and I thank you so much for your word, the truth of it. God, every promise you've ever made, you've always kept. Thank you that you loved us enough to go through all that it took to give us that word. There are people in other countries, Lord, who don't even have access to it. People today who are being beheaded because they have a copy, just a portion of your word. People who are in prison today, forgotten in a third world country, because they had your word. They hold on to one verse. But God, here we are in America with 50 copies on our counters and our tables and our cars and in the church. And we've got it on our phones. We've got it on our computers, God. And we go through weeks and we never even consider it. And we come to church and we wonder why we feel so powerless and why we're always needing something else in our life fixed. God, I pray today as your people that your word would be magnified. That dads would magnify your word in their families, to their kids. God, that their stars in their life and the ones who they want to be like doesn't come from a sports team, but God, it comes from the word of God, that they'd want to be like Jesus. They'd want to be like David. They want to be like Jonah. They want to be like whoever they see in God's word. They want to be like their daddy because he's a man of God who walks in the word. And they want to be like their mama because she's a woman of righteousness and they see love and peace and kindness in her. Father, I just pray that we would build our lives upon that foundation. Lord, I don't care if we've never read it before. Today's a new day and we've got a new hope. We've got the same offer that we had 50 years ago. You want to speak to us? Pray we'd set our heart to that. And if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, I pray right where they stand right now, Lord, they give their life to you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.